Second half of the program starts now here on Sports Radio 810. We'll get back to the Chiefs here in a little bit. Mick Schaefer in studio. I won't play a little family feud. But college basketball talk here in the program. Doug Gottlieb of Fox Sports joins the program. Doug, how are you?
I'm good. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody in KC. You guys were so hospitable. This past weekend, as I was in town for the College Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremony, so I'm like, God, every time I'm there, I'm like, this is just such a cool town. And I love the passion for it. I was watching a Chiefs game at, I was watching a Yard House right across from the theater where the induction ceremonies were, the Midland Theater. And, like, look, you know, it's not like a, that's not like a hot KC spot to watch the game, but, like, this, I don't know, it's cool to be in a town so passionate about one team. I mean, I live in Southern California now. You have two NFL teams, and people are still into them, but, you know, they've had no teams for so long. And it's more of a Raider town, and, you know, people like Cowboys. And it's cool because it's a cornucopia of teams that people have fandom for. But there is something to living and dying with one team. Unfortunately, you go from, you know, the penthouse to the outhouse and how the Chiefs have played this year. But it was every time I'm in town, I'm like, man, this is KC's cool. This is a cool sports town.
Man, I had to watch that game, and I was actually in New York for that game, and it was not the same mood there. Believe it or not, on the other side. There were a lot of happy Giants fans, Doug. There were a lot of happy Giants fans.
Yeah, my son's actually a Giants fan, but he's really actually an Odell Beckham Jr. fan. I don't know anybody who is a fan who was like really liked that game. And honestly, the Giants, for their future, they need to lose that game.
So, yes.
So, yeah, it was interesting.
Do you have a favorite spot you hit up while you were in KC?
No, so tired. I kind of hung out. It's kind of mellow. I actually just walked around downtown a bunch. I love the CBE. I think that's, you know, I love the idea of an interactive museum. I really do. And I was just bummed I didn't bring my son. I was coaching him, and he had Little League baseball playoff, or like fall league playoffs. And so I hadn't planned on taking him, and I was like, eh. And that's the kind of place where you take a kid in, and they fall in love with the game, and they get super, super sweaty. And they're like, let's go back to that. What was that museum place called? Yeah, it's really cool. So, but no, I do not have any go-to. I got a lot of friends that live in KC, but no go-to.
You know, you're a good person to ask this question to, because you've been in so many other cities doing college basketball things. There's a pretty healthy debate, I think, in this city about whether or not this is a basketball town or a college basketball town. And we get this nice litmus test with the CBE every year. And in regards to whether there'd be an NBA team would be successful, most people, I think, contend that this is a college basketball town if your team is playing. This is a Kansas town. If you're a KU fan, you say this is a college basketball town. What you really mean is it's a Kansas town or it's a K-State town. What is your impression of this city as a basketball, purely basketball, or just a college basketball town compared to other big cities you've been in?
I think it's a better version of Oklahoma City in this. Like, I think it's a great sports town. I don't think it's a college basketball town or a pro basketball. I think, like, look, in Oklahoma City, they're selling out. It's killed college basketball. Now, there was never the passion for OSU was close, but it wasn't Kansas. But again, Oklahoma State basketball, like, I'm reasonable to understand it's not Kansas basketball, right? But, I mean, they also hit the lottery, right? They get the first NBA team they get because of Hurricane, they get Chris Paul in his prime. The second one they get Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook as, like, amoebas, you know, as they kind of grow up together and become – and James Harden, you know, you have – three future MVPs on one team. It's crazy. And so now you'd say, like, well, Oklahoma City's a great basketball town. Like, it's not. I mean, it's just they love sports. And when they have one thing that's competitive that they can focus on, and they've done a great job of kind of capturing the imagination of the city, it's become a great NBA town. People say, well, it's a bad college basketball town. Like, yeah, OU's never really drawn that well. That'd be fair. I'd say for Kansas City, like, could they? Of course they could have an NBA team, you know? NBA is awesome. You know, it's 40-some nights, and you have, I mean, think about, like, every night somebody kind of interesting, with the exception maybe of the Kings. Like, and the Hawks, like somebody interesting comes in, and if you have star players, it's like a Broadway show where you don't know the ending.
Well, and it's a great time kind of for it in Kansas City too, Doug, because like Joel Embiid and Andrew Wiggins are both young players that played here locally, and Michael Porter Jr. could end up going high. Like all those things kind of play into the fact that it would be a good time for KC.
No doubt. I mean, look, I'm just telling you though, be careful what you wish for. Like the arena, that's an NBA arena, and you could even throw some more money into it and make it even crazier or whatever if you wanted when they got a team. I mean, but if you get it, it's going to hurt Kansas. And Kansas fans can sit there and go like, no, it won't. Always like, okay, like even if it's not on going to NBA games instead. First, it's expensive. it is not cheap, and I don't think it'll hurt the Chiefs. But if the Chiefs are ever down, it wouldn't help. But I mean, there's enough. Like Chiefs, you're talking about 8 games. You're doing 41 nights plus preseason, and if you're any good, you're doing playoffs as well. Like that's a lot of time spent. And you end up paying attention a little bit more to it. Just splits your attention up. So could they support an NBA team? I've never understood all these other towns getting love in Kansas City not just being obvious, right? Just like that's an obvious destination. You already have the arena. Every team is well supported. It's just simple. And it's, centrally located for so many of those other cities, Minnesota, for the Timberwolves, for the Bulls. For Oklahoma City now, for Dallas, and it's really easy to get in and out of for those NBA teams. Like, all of that makes sense. I just, with the exception of the Power and Light District and the Sprint Center and downtown, do you need it? Because it will hurt a lot of other sports, which, reap the benefits of not having professional sports.
Well, as a Missouri fan, let me say I'm okay with it hurting Kansas basketball. Don't at me, Kansas fans. It was a joke.
Yeah, but Curtis, like, look, it's been hard enough to get people to get in their car and go to watch Missouri basketball in the SEC, cool. Where you're like, dude, I didn't want to drive that far anyway, and I really don't want to drive that far to see them take on South Carolina.
Right.
Or see them take on, I don't care about them playing, I don't care about them playing Georgia in basketball. Unless it's Kentucky, like, what's every game's on TV now, like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're going to make it even more difficult. And like, look, Michael Porter, he's gone next year. Why are you going to go?
Right.
So, that's the honest. I mean, the problem in Oklahoma State's a perfect example, right? That arena's too big. Town's tiny. And then, like, you're in Edmond. You're like, I could get in the car, and I could drive and go watch an Oklahoma State game. It takes 50 minutes to get there. Add in 15 minutes to park and walk in, see the game, and whatever. Or I can sit at home, watch it on TV, and watch the Thunder on TV, like, and not spend any money. Like, what's the decision here? So, I just think if you're really trying to create attention for Missouri basketball to be back, boy, that's a really, really good way to slow that down if you have an NBA team.
Let's start there, Doug. Since you mentioned Missouri and you mentioned them trying to come back and Michael Porter Jr., obviously he played 2.5 minutes in one game and they haven't seen him back on, and it seems to be surrounded in this mysterious hip injury that they aren't releasing much information about, and then he misses the game last night. And they scrape by against Emporia State. And I mean scrape by against Emporia State.
Yep.
Is it as simple as, because after that first game against Iowa State, there was a little bit of hope that, okay, Konzo Martin is just a better coach, and these players are better with a better coach, and with a couple of other freshmen, including Tillman, they can kind of make this thing work. When you watch them against Emporia State last night, it seems like people figured out Missouri awfully quickly if Michael Porter's not on the court.
Well, I mean, it's impossible to say what they're going to be with him and without him. We haven't seen him with him, right? Let's just be honest. And they're obviously going to be better with him. But Serena and I talked about this last week, like, you have a team from scratch, especially if you have freshmen, like, they're not going to be good. I don't care how good your freshmen are. In November, they're just not going to be good. And, I mean, because you can just line up and you run offense against them and put them in the half court. That's actually why I was a little bit surprised. We talked about the Kentucky-Kansas game last time I was on. And, I mean, it's par for the course. So I will give Konzo and Mizzou a pass. I don't know enough about the hip. I do know that hit things, you know, really, that's when you start to really, they do a much better job with them now. But if they become like problematic, like that's a draft stock killer, because, you know, hips and feet, by many ways are harder to fix and more problematic than, and hips, feet and back more so even than knees. But I, you know, like I also think, you know, Konzo has never been a great offensive coach. He's all about toughness and playing together and playing really, really hard. And, you know, so the offense, I thought, has been really sporadic at times so far when we've seen him. But it's obviously made more sporadic when you take away not only a dynamic player in Michael Porter, but Michael Porter's not a pig, too. So he's one of the really good freshmen in that he'll make everybody better, not just because of his presence, but also because of his play.
I think the concern that Missouri fans have with Porter isn't just if they knew, okay, it's this, and here's the timetable, and we'll get back. It's that this much after the initial injury, they still haven't even nailed down exactly where he's hurt. We've heard hip, we've heard leg, we've heard back. You know, that he's trying to get comfortable. He sits in the locker room because it's more comfortable. It's kind of that mystery, and I understand. I mean, Missouri is under no obligation to tell anybody what's going on with one of their players. But I think it's that uncertainty of not even knowing what we're talking about 2 weeks after the injury that I think has most Missouri fans, plus they're just natural – the natural fatalistic impulses that we have as Tiger fans. I think that all kind of feeds together, and it's like, oh, my God, how's this going to blow up?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you are waiting for the next shoe to drop, whatever. I think it probably means the nerve deal, right? If it's in the back, in the hip, in the leg, and they can't find it, doesn't that usually mean it's a nerve more so than muscular or skeletal? I don't know.
Yes.
You were doing weather.
I've heard two people say, yeah.
But,
I heard two people, I think, and maybe it's one person being skeptical, saying, oh, it could be a herniated disc or something. I'm like, oh, that would be great.
Yeah, or it could be a disc that's touching on a nerve and yeah. It makes everything hurt there. You know, like, I missed a good amount of time my sophomore year in high school, and it's kind of the same thing. I couldn't figure out, like, why it felt like I had a pulled hamstring when I didn't have a pulled hamstring. And it just turned out I had something pressing against the nerve, and it felt like you know, my hamstring was just on fire. So, I'm bummed out because obviously most people feel it's pretty reasonable to think you're only going to have him for one season, and when is that season going to start? So far we haven't. That hasn't actually begun. Hey, can you guys give me 1 second?
Sure.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Let's ask you this, since you mentioned, you know, like if this thing lingers and you mentioned that any team with this many freshmen and starting this close with a new coach, how good can they be without Porter? Like, is it even reasonable to assume tournament?
Well, the problem is the SEC is actually pretty good. Like, I don't know about the Auburn kids and who's going to be, but even without them, like, they're still, Auburn's pretty good. Georgia's pretty good. I don't even know, Texas A&M kicked the hell out of Oklahoma State. And they don't even have everybody back yet. I think A&M's really good. I think Florida's really good. Kentucky's going to get better. Look around that league. The league's pretty salty. So I think if they were in a lesser league, like there's some other leagues that aren't as good this year. Look at the Big Ten. It's very, very. Wisconsin, who we saw last night in Kansas City, like they're okay. They're young. They're probably a year away from being at the top of that league. Michigan lost again. They're very young. They have a new team. Like, you're in the Big Ten. Okay. I could see them being competitive, being a tournament team. I mean, the other problem is, like, you have to go through, as long as he's out, and then you're like, okay, so are we going to run an offense built around Michael Porter? Are we going to run our normal stuff? And then when he comes back, integrating him is really, really hard because – hey, train's kind of left the station, and we've kind of already established. It's hard to establish an identity, right? That's all November is really about, is establishing an identity. You think you know what you have when you practice all fall, and when you get ready for the game. A lot of times, teams change offenses. Why? Because they're trying to establish their identity. It's hard to do so when the guy you think will be your best player hasn't even played. It's hard to get, like, who are we? What are we about? Where do we go when we need a shot? What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? I mean, you establish one thing, you establish then another. So could they be a tournament team? maybe. But, man, it just leaves you in such flux because you don't know who you want to become, who you are at the moment, and how you're going to play.
God, especially because I feel like Michael Porter Jr. could be the person with the ball in his hand bringing it up the court a lot of the time. The offense could literally run through him when he comes back and should. And that's the guy that's missing. It just makes it almost impossible to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question for Zoe is, you know, I talk to coaches about this all the time. Like, hey, you realize, like a Porter, you can play at, you know, you can play him at center in college.
Sure.
You can play him all over the court. And how creative do you want to be? But, again, some of that creativity is hurt because you can't use him to see how it looks. You know, that's what you do. That's what I would do right now is I would be taking a look at him at every different position with every different lineup to try and figure out exactly what I like, what I like best, what makes us flow the best.
Yeah, which is exactly what good teams do. We're speaking here with Doug Gottlieb, brought to you by Corona. Let's switch over to Kansas just for a second because they've got their own freshman issues. Billy Preston hasn't been on the court for them since being in a single car accident. They've been quite a bit more forthcoming than the injury of Michael Porter because Bill Self yesterday was, I don't know, I thought surprisingly honest when he said, hey, are you worried about this? Like, yeah, I'm worried. Like, from what I hear, it can get worked out, but, you know, yeah, sure. I'm worried about what might happen with Billy Preston. Based on what you can gather of this, I mean, is it just as simple as they're trying to figure out who's, like, because it sounds to me they're just trying to figure out whose car this is and how deep this thing goes, because a single car accident, especially one that ended up reported to the police, would not normally hold out a player this long. So the obvious concerns are how, you know, how bad is if there is a violation at all.
Well, if the answer was the answer it was supposed to be, then we would have already had a conclusion to this. So I think you already know without knowing that the answer is not good. Right? Like if somebody goes like, "Who's this car belong to?" and the answer isn't me or my dad or my mom, you know, then we don't already have that established. Then the answer is not the one that you're going to want to hear. So, yeah, I think it's very concerning. I think it's very problematic. I mean, the big question I think for Kansas is, look, they want Billy to play. Anybody does. But for Kansas, however he got the card, did they have anything to do with it? Or is this a side deal? I mean, that's the old Reggie Bush with the Lloyd Lake guy where he was befriended the stepdad, and the stepdad ends up, you know, costing SC all these games. And did Reggie Bush know? Maybe. I don't know. But if you ask Reggie Bush, he's like, dude, I didn't know. My parents just bought me. It was just a Ford Explorer or something. It wasn't like some sick, you know, decked out car. I just had a car and they bought it for me. So, I think that's the biggest concern. But I do think you already know that the answer is not good if the question was asked, who does this car belong to? And the answer has not been given to this point.
Especially, gosh, yeah, when the answer is not me or my aunt or some direct family relative, yeah, it's immediately concerning.
Because the idea that they don't know at this point to me seems, I almost say farcical, like, but it just seems unlikely.
Even at 18, like, or 19, I never drove a car who I didn't know the owner of, right? Either I own said car, or I was borrowing it from the direct person whose car I knew it was. Like, I don't, like, and you'd have a better grasp on this, Doug, than I would, certainly, and around that circuit, and people, like, and around, but, I mean, even then, in those teenage years, surrounded by the people you're surrounded by, you don't typically are in a car that you don't know who it doesn't belong to, right?
Well, there's also the, like, is it that he doesn't know who it's belonged to, or he doesn't know who's making the payments on it, you know?
Okay.
I mean, all of these things, you know, that, well, yeah, but who's... There was like a comedy sketch to this. I don't know if you guys remember Slapshot, like who owns the Chiefs, right? Who owned the Chiefs? You mean to tell me it takes a couple, 2 weeks to figure out who owns the car? Oh, it's like it's right there in the registration. Somebody's name is on the reg, right? Otherwise, he would have gotten, you know, charged with driving an unlicensed, unregistered car, but he wasn't. It was, we're trying to establish who owns the car, which is more, I think it's more, we're trying to establish who pays for the car.
Or who the person is behind the payments. Like, maybe they're not familiar with the person behind the payments, but now they're concerned about who that person may be.
Yeah.
Which is...
So, I don't know. You know, like, look, I'm not a pay-the-players guy, but I'm not necessarily against I'm not necessarily against having a courtesy car. The other thing, which, and look, Kansas, I always mess with my boys who played at Kansas. Like, man, walking up that hill to a class, that's got to suck, especially in the winter. But it wasn't yet winter yet, so no excuses. I don't know. What's interesting about the car accident is, like, historically, when it happened, they're getting ready to play in a four-team deal at Michigan State. And, Michigan State might not be Michigan State if it wasn't for a car accident. Like, you guys remember, it was late Robert Traylor. he rolled a Ford Explorer on his way to, like, a casino, and it was on Mateen Cleave's recruiting trip. And Michigan was, the school in the state of Michigan, the coolest school in the Big Ten. And then they in the reg, and it was Robert Traylor's grandma was her name was on the thing, and like, wait, your grandma hasn't worked in like 20 years. She, how's she paying for this car? And then they did some research, like, oh, okay, so there's a booster that ended up bringing down Michigan basketball. Again, I'm not saying that's foreshadowing what happened with Kansas. I think what's more likely is it's somebody who either is an agent or wants to be an agent or is a friend of the family who's, the term is always taking care of them. And, are they giving the parent money? Are they giving the relative money and the relatives, paying for the car? And they're like, wait a second, that relative doesn't make enough money to pay for this car. So I don't know. It's just the crazy thing is it's so easily traceable that, if you're driving around a car, like you said, if you know who the car belongs to, if you're really pressing, or you have some sort of sense. And if you don't, these are easy questions that you should quite obviously ask.
Like, if you're a college basketball player, just know to ask that question, like, hey, we got you a car. Did you? Didn't get me a car? Like, no, I have further questions. Just real quick on the court with that, Doug. Without Billy Preston, do they have enough down low? I know, they've had foul trouble down there. I know Self always kind of finds a way to kind of maneuver that, but do they have enough down low if Billy Preston isn't able to get back on the court?
In terms of have enough, I would say, yeah, they have enough to win the Big 12. And remember, they're playing small. They're playing four guards here.
They are.
So it doesn't really...
And Azubuike's been good, so it's not that, but, he
has... It doesn't affect their starting lineup, but Preston is the guy who, kind of we talked about differently with Michael Porter. By the time you get to February, Billy Preston is a guy who can win you a game or two. Billy Preston has a much higher ceiling. You can take Spee out and have a completely different look, or with Gerald Vick out and have a completely different look. So, I think they're probably going to win the Big 12 anyway. It probably doesn't matter. But in terms of competing for a national championship, no, I don't think they have enough. And maybe it's not even enough in terms of talent as much as numbers. Right? You need the numbers. You need eight guys, nine guys maybe, once you get into that part of the season.
Talking here with Doug Gottlieb in the program brought to you by Corona and Corona Light. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Doug, I want to ask you about... hey, listen, good news. You get to join the rest of the sports in talking about Donald Trump. He joined college basketball this weekend, so we can talk a little bit about that. Plus, Adam Silver is considering some changes to the one-and-done rule. We'll do that next here with Doug Gottlieb. Still talking with Doug Gottlieb here, brought to you by Corona and Corona Light here in the program. Just we don't have to get too far into this. But welcome to wading into the sports and politics worlds, Doug. Obviously, LeVar Ball... / what happened at UCLA / the president. Do you feel that pinch, just like, NFL has, that it's including? It's starting to cross two lines?
CNN keeps taking the bait. This is what happened with the presidential election. This is what's happening with LeVar Ball. Like, yeah, that interview was a disaster. It completely went off the rails. But CNN got what they want because they want ratings and people to pay attention to them. And LeVar Ball got what he wanted because he got attention. Like, I agree with the Steve Kerr mentality, which is, like, stop paying attention to LeVar Ball. He doesn't want to say thank you. I don't know how much the president helped, if the president helped at all. But your kid got out of China after shoplifting. Just say thank you. It's not that hard. But whatever. Putting him on TV, it always ends the exact same way. So why do people keep doing it? And the only answer is ratings. And if that's what you're about, cool. But I do think you can, we can continue to create a story to which one doesn't exist. I think, look, this is the best. In many ways, it really is going to help Steve Alford at UCLA.
Yes.
I think they were struggling. They're not necessarily struggling recruiting, per se, because Jello Ball isn't that good. But the LaMelo Ball thing, he's nobody wants to play with him. And he doesn't play any defense. He's not that good. He doesn't pass. But, you know, now he's got, like, a signature shoe, and he's signing autographs in China. Man, like, I think what you're going to see happen here is they'll suspend him for the remainder of the season. They'll bring him back to let him practice if they want in the second semester, as long as they don't get in trouble. And then Jello will leave at the end of this year, like his dad wants him to. I don't know what for, but he will. And they'll probably be done with the Ball family at UCLA, and everyone will get out of it what they wanted to, you know. Alford got a contract extension, and they reinvigorated UCLA basketball. Lonzo got to be a second-round pick, number two pick, got to the Lakers. The dad got to be a big-name personality in the sports landscape. And Jello will get at least a year of a college scholarship. And, you know, the way it works now in college, if you go for 1 year, you can always go back, and they have to pay your way. So if he wants to, he could be a UCLA degree holder. But in the short term, I just stop putting him on TV. I think this is a really, really good, easy solution to this problem.
just stop doing it. That does seem like
easy solution. We did it once at Fox Sports. I was hosting Colin Cowherd's show, and we did it once, and I didn't love it. I asked him some pretty hard questions. And, you know, he gets super, super defensive and kind of shuts down when you're not scared of him and tries to change the topic. It was right after they announced, you know, the shoes and how much they cost. And I was like, well, how many have you sold? And he didn't want to give me a number. And, you know, him not wanting to give me a number was a lot like the Billy Preston, you know, when you don't want to tell me who the car belongs to, I know the answer isn't good. When you don't want to tell me how many shoes you sold, I know the answer isn't good. So, I mean, I kind of think most of us know what this is all about. And he's just not really willing, CNN's not really willing to just do what, I know we've done at Fox Sports 1, which is like, we're like, all right, we're kind of good. I don't know about ESPN, just because they, ratings-wise, they're a little bit still beholden to trying to move that needle. But I'm good not having him on TV. Here's the thing. He didn't do a good job with Lonzo. Lonzo doesn't know how to play pick and roll. He can't guard the basketball. Like, there's a lot of things missing from his game.
Yes.
And yet, you know, we credit him with, you know, he did, you know, bring him up and teach him how to play. Like, oh, okay, but he's struggling. Like, leave the kid alone, let him play, become a pro, and stop paying attention to this guy who there is some good to him. It's like, you know, Darth Vader, there was some good in there. But you wouldn't put Darth Vader on CNN and ask him about his kid getting caught shoplifting in China.
Speaking of Doug Gottlieb in the program, let me ask you at least about the one-and-done rule, since it seemingly comes back up every year. But Adam Silver at least discussing the fact that they might or have some familiarity or consideration in changing their position on that. Do you think the NBA is serious about going back to a different form of the rule or a new form of the rule? And you know, we talked about NBA.
I think in all honesty, the NBA wants two or three and done. I don't think they want the kids, you know. They're just not ready. I mean, Lonzo Ball's getting all the attention, but just not ready. I mean, even Dennis Smith, who people are raving about, like, he's shooting like 39% from the floor, and he shoots most. When he's shooting a two, he's shooting dunks. You can't win with them. So I think if you ask NBA personnel, people are like, yeah, you know, if it was me, I would much rather them spend a couple years where I can watch them, see what kind of people they are. I think they'd do it like to do at least a two, if not a three. But I think that there's so many other forces at play, these agents. And, you know, we got people on TV. And honestly, like, if you talk to these coaches, they'll all tell you off the record, like, yeah, they, you know, I don't really – I just don't want those – there's a, like 10, 15, 20 kids, you know, that can do it or that want to do it. I don't really want those kids around my program, but I don't really think they should go. But then when the microphone's on, they're all like, oh, they should be able to go right away. Why? Because that's the popular thing. You think it's going to hurt you in recruiting.
But are they closer to getting like their own minor league, or would they just prefer it still came from college?
The problem with the G League is you can't make any money. It's, you know, you can't make any money. You just, and NBA teams aren't supporting these things.
because they have a free minor league system now. So why would, like, for the NBAs, why would they? They have a free minor league system. No other sport, college football, but it's not, you know, that baseball has to fund all of it.
Wait, the NFL has the exact same thing.
Yes. Why would they want a minor league when they have a free minor league system? Like, that's the difficulty
this. I do think, I will tell you this, I think, they all they need to do is get in rooms and go like, hey, you know, because I'll warn these basketball coaches. They all say, like, we should mirror the baseball rules. Like, okay, has anybody realized how uninteresting college baseball is? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it does have really good players, but, you know, the assumption is the top ones go out to the post. It's not the reality, and people also don't realize that though you get money up front, you really don't make any money in pro baseball, any legit money until, like, your fifth year, sixth year, unless you're Mike Trout, unless you're Giancarlo Stanton, unless you're, you know, Bryce Harper. But, I mean, you're under club control. The first 4 years, you're not making anything in comparison to what they're making in the NBA and even the NFL.
Well, and essentially in baseball, they can hold you hostage in the minor leagues forever. They can control your contract for a really – I mean, they can subject you to the Rule 5 draft and stuff, but they can essentially control most of your career if you're in the minors forever.
Well, look, I know. And like, the baseball – everybody always says the baseball thing, the baseball thing, the baseball thing. But, okay, well, the players don't make money for the first, you know, 4 years or so in the baseball thing, right?
Nope.
And college baseball suffers in terms of importance in the baseball thing. So why are we pushing the baseball thing? Like, the NFL model is the best model. It just is. Now, look, here's the thing about the G League that I've told Sarin before, and I tell people all the time. You could already go to the G League right away out of high school for a year. Play, make money. Not a ton, but make a little bit of money. Play professional basketball. Be coached by a G League coach. And then you can be in the NBA draft. But players don't do it. Why? Because college basketball has value. We build your brand alongside the brand of your school. You have, honestly, better coaching. It's a better lifestyle.
You're more likely to be on TV.
Well, not just that. It's not. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to help you in your business. It's going to help you in your business in your personal brand business, because, yeah, like you said, with the NCAA tournament, you can become automatically associated with it, automatically associated with the sport. And I just think you have greater longevity. But more than anything, it gives you more balance as a human being. Like, we all realize it has a ton of value. And I even think these kids and the ones who have parents or smart mentors realize that as well. And so I think basketball is in a much stronger position than they give themselves credit for. And frankly, I'm disappointed Mike Krzyzewski's like, oh, we should go back to the old rule. Like, yeah, but that's because you're a Duke, you know? Like, when you're a Duke, you don't suffer. Like, it's just I was talking with Mike Montgomery, the former Stanford and Cal coach. My brother worked for Cal, a former Golden State Warriors coach. You know, he's on that committee trying to clean up college basketball. And, like, there is so many other issues. It's like you're watching these games now, not necessarily Emporia State, but, you know, when you play a Kennesaw State or when you play a Georgia State and you're playing a really good player, dude, you're sitting there in your mind as an assistant coach going like, hey, which one of these guys are graduating so we can get grad transfers? Like, there's no way to compete at the low major level, because the second you have a really good player, he graduates early before his senior year, and now he goes and he plays, you know, pick the team. Right? Like,
yeah.
Who was it? Stony Brook. Sacred Heart. Sacred Heart had a really, really good point guard. Yeah, he graduated early. They lost him. I think he's playing for Cincinnati this year. You know? So, like, Cincinnati need a point guard. Why develop a high school kid where you can just go poach somebody else's kid? And not necessarily even poaching. Kids graduate. They have somebody reach out to all these programs, and you get a fifth-year transfer or you get a grad transfer. So, there's a lot of issues with the sport, and I think that simply changing the one-and-done rule, which, again, is an NBA rule, it's not a college basketball rule, that's only tip of the iceberg, but I think you would settle things down in terms of even the transferring. If you made really easy rules where you got to play 2 years in college, you know, or I'd be for three, but the guy played 2 years in college, and every time you transfer, you have to sit out a year, regardless of how many years you played, how many years you have left. Change the, you know, because now you have five to play for. I think if you did that, I think you would stabilize college basketball a ton.
Kane Broome, by the way, is the guard that went from Sacred to Cincinnati.
That's a great name, by the way.
Kane Broome? Yeah, that is a great name. Just the great 80-grade name for sure. Let's finish up here with Doug Gottlieb, the Final Four brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. I'll make it easy on you, Doug, because I'm filling in for Seren. We'll just do Final Two. Look, it's not even four questions. Callers 8 and 10 can win a lottery prize pack courtesy of the Kansas Lottery. We'll make them easy. One, where are you now?
Right now I'm driving towards my house. During this call, I have walked my dog, or actually let my dog run at the park down the street, and I've gotten coffee for myself, my wife, and now I'm pulling into my house.
Just bonus.
Newport Beach, California.
Bonus question to that. What's your coffee order?
Ooh, well, it's changed over the years, and I've evolved. I will still do Starbucks out of necessity, but we have a chain. It's a national chain. It's Coffee Bean Tea Leaf. So I do a nitro cold brew with a scoop of vanilla powder. It's pretty fantastic.
We appreciate the time as always, Doug. We'll get back with you again next week. Obviously, college basketball. I can't wait. Just for me, like once conference games start, it just feels like it's a whole nother level. So I know we're getting close to that.
Well, they start here in the Big 12 before the new year, so it's going to be a little weird.
I know.
But, man, I mean, we didn't talk about it, but, man, Tech has looked really good.
Yes.
I talked to these Irvine coaches. They were pretty impressed with K-State. And Iowa State obviously looked really, really improved winning their tournament. So, I think the league is going to be a little bit better than I thought and always super competitive. Texas Tech is the team that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, it's hard not to. Between that and even close to locally, Creighton was a team, obviously, based on their performance last night as well, and all of me ranked teams they've been taken down. So plenty more to get to again next week, Doug. Plenty more to get to again next week. Appreciate the time as always.
Hi, brother. Happy Thanksgiving.